Web Marketing That Works podcast, episode number 8.
Welcome to the Web Marketing That Works podcast. Come behind the scenes of real-life marketing experiments and listen in as amazing guests confess the truth about what really works. Now, here are your hosts, Adam Franklin and Toby Jenkins.
Hey, it's Adam Franklin from the Web Marketing That Works podcast, joined as always by Toby Jenkins. How are you, Toby?
Good, thanks, Ads. Hi, everyone.
This is the show for people like you, like us, who love marketing on the web. You'll be taken behind the scenes of real-life marketing experiments where we look at the good, the bad, and the ugly. We confess what's failed and we reveal the truth about what really works.
This show is brought to you by our new book, Web Marketing That Works, and specifically the bonus templates that go with it. So jump on over to our website if you want to download the bonus 33 free templates. The website address is bluewiremedia.com.au/book.
And a very big thank you to listeners that left us a 5-star review. They are Tim Stanley, L. Samuels, Mike O'Hagan, Soul Smile, and the Mugsies. We really appreciate the support. All the 5-star reviews and ratings that you leave us really help our visibility on iTunes, and we're still on the New and Noteworthy and one of the top business podcasts, thanks to you, our listeners.
Yeah, thanks. Really stoked about that, Ads. So thank you very much to you, everyone, for your reviews. Ads, I'm actually really excited about today. Well, I'm excited about each of the podcasts, but today, the show, I was able to interview Ron Baker, who is a bit of a business hero of mine and certainly has influenced our thinking, I think, over the years. And I first met him through his best-selling book, Implementing Value Pricing. And he really, the concepts that he explores in that book really changed my thinking about business, about how you create value and the perception of value and pricing. It was amazing, actually. It's a brilliant read if you get the chance to read it. And that there'll be a link to that in the show notes, so help yourself. But one of the things, there are a number of things that I really liked. Ron's a really funny guy, really passionate about pricing and the purpose of businesses and that kind of thing as well. He began in the Big 8 accounting firms and then kicked off to start his own accounting practice, and then ultimately moved from being in the practice to teaching, writing, speaking, and consulting, and you know, got rid of his practice. But along the way, he learned a whole bunch of marketing. He's had a huge amount of experience, really, marketing, and has written numbers of books that I really liked. But there are a few quotes that I really liked in the interview today. One was, "You can't sit between two bar stools," which he was sort of talking about, you know, you can't have your cake and eat it too. Sooner or later, you need to really commit to the business that you feel you're most passionate about. And for him, that was moving away from his accounting, or practicing as an accountant, and becoming an educator and writing. And one of the things I really liked about his turn of phrase as well was that he sees himself not as a thought leader. In fact, he actually hates the term, but sees himself as an aggressive student of customer service. And it was the customer service aspect that really brought him to understanding pricing and how value is impacted by the perception of the customer and all that kind of thing. So he really dives into a whole bunch of really core business principles as well as marketing principles that I loved. And the other, you know, really exciting thing from a web marketing point of view is that he is the first LinkedIn influencer that we've had on the show, and he goes into how one article had 500,000 reads and over 600 comments as being a key ingredient to him getting to that LinkedIn influencer status. So I'm really excited to explore and go into the interview with Ron now.
And Tobes, one of the things that actually struck me when you told me that you'd interviewed Ron, it was interesting. I recall you saying, Ron said he doesn't do any marketing, and yet when you spoke with him, he totally does. He just doesn't see it as marketing. You know, he's written 6 best-selling books, he blogs, he's a LinkedIn influencer, and what I think we'll discover in the show is that by publishing that thought leadership, for lack of a better word, and I know you said Ron doesn't like that word, but publishing your thoughts anyway can just keep him so busy and attract so much business in that I just thought it was really interesting that he didn't see it as marketing, but he saw it as sharing his IP and being transparent with what he was doing.
Yeah, it was brilliant actually, because I haven't sort of seen anyone take that stance on no, I don't market, I just write blog posts. You know, the vast majority of people that we speak to see blog posts as part of their marketing, and to him it's more about how can I educate and how can I share this information that I'm most passionate about with the world at large. And you know, he's built a huge following, you know, a great business for himself and best-selling books and all of that, because he's so keen to share and he wants to give away his intellectual capital. And in fact, he even says he does that so then it forces him to replenish it and to stay, you know, at the edge and the cutting edge of the thinking around pricing and value and customer service. And to him, he sees it as a discipline of really progressing and pushing himself. So it was a fascinating take on what is marketing and what's not, I guess.
Well, it sounds like we're in for a treat. Should we get right into the show and hear it from the horse's mouth?
Yes, indeed. Over to Ron. So today I'm excited to be joined by Ron Baker. Ron Baker is started his CPA career in 1984 with KPMG's Private Business Advisory Services in San Francisco. Today, Ron is the founder of the VeriSage Institute, the leading think tank dedicated to educating professionals around the world. He's also on the faculty of the Professional Pricing Society. Ron, and the reason we got to meet Ron was due to his 6 best-selling books. The one that I loved the most was Implementing Value Pricing. And I've also read a handful of your others, Ron, Pricing on Purpose and Measure What Matters to Customers. So, Ron, I'm really pleased to have you here with us on the show. So thanks very much for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Toby. Glad to be here.
I should point out as well that Ron was also named in Accounting Today's 2001, 2002, 2003, and 7 other years top 100 most influential people in accounting profession, and voted number 6 of the top 10 most influential people in accounting in 2012 and 2013. So, Ron, you've got a huge pedigree in history there. I might ask you, you know, what is your background? What's your experience in terms of running your own business and now moving towards this sort of pricing and consulting business that you're doing more currently?
Oh, excellent. Okay, well, I'll be real brief. As you said, I started my CPA career in a Big 8 accounting firm in San Francisco. And my CPA, by the way, stands for couldn't pass it again. So I'm a recovering CPA now, but I did start my career in a Big 8. And then I stayed there for 2.5 years and then went out on my own and started my own firm. And as you know, Toby, once you have your own business, you know, life changes dramatically. You take on more hats, you have more responsibility. And that's kind of how I got into the pricing thing. I realized my customers weren't buying my time. They were buying results. They were buying outcomes. And so we started experimenting with value pricing in my firm. And we had some, you know, we had a lot of failure with it. Don't get me wrong. I made every mistake in the book, but we got better at it, just like any other skill, golf, tennis, whatever. The more you do it, the better you get. And I was so excited by it that I wanted to teach it to my colleagues. So I kind of started teaching the other CPAs. And then I wrote a book in 98. That was my first book. And that kind of took off around the world. And it kind of, you know, one of those proverbial forks in the road where you have to make a decision. So as of 2001, I've been doing this full time. And now I consult and speak full time. So I don't practice anymore. And I primarily work in the field of pricing.
Awesome. Yeah, that's great, Ron. That's really interesting journey away from your own sort of practice as well. I mean, what time frame did that take?
It took a while. It actually probably took longer than it should have. You know, it was one of those things, a very hard thing to leave. The exit costs of leaving your own practice are kind of high because, you know, it throws off a good living. You don't have to work all that hard. And leaving it is kind of scary because it's unknown what you're walking into. But therefore I held on to the practice probably longer than I should have before I sold out to my partner. But once I made the move, I'm really glad I did. And so it was like a 4-year time frame.
Okay. And in that time frame, that was sort of where you started teaching and then where you then wrote the book in that time frame as well, before you sort of completely cut ties with the firm?
Right. I taught first, and then from the teaching, I wrote the book. And then the book kind of started getting me a lot of speaking engagements, and worldwide too. I'm happy to say Australia was one of those. and then more consulting engagements as well. So for a while, for a year or two, I was kind of doing both. And, you know, you guys have a great saying down there. You can't sit between two bar stools, I think it is. I had to burn the ships, metaphorically, so to speak, to really pursue what I do now full time. So I'm super glad I did it.
Yeah. Okay. That's awesome. And I guess I'm really interested, you know, this podcast is all about sort of web marketing that works and, you know, broader marketing as well. But I'm interested to hear that this process of going from teaching to a book to speaking worldwide to be recognized really as an authority in not just the profession but globally on pricing. And then, you know, now you're presenting and consulting as well around those issues with companies. So what has been your experience in that sense, in terms of, you know, teaching as a way of generating business, really?
Yeah, it's really interesting because, you know, everybody says, oh, become a thought leader. And I never really set out to become a thought leader. I was just a very aggressive student of not only pricing, but also customer service, which is what really led me to down the pricing road. I realized very quickly that billing people by the hour was a lousy customer experience. So it wasn't because of so much the pricing, it was because of the customer experience that got me into the pricing. But so I never set out to be a thought leader. I was just a very passionate and aggressive student of these topics. And that passion kind of went into my first book. And I that's kind of what put me on the map. I mean, certain very influential people read it, people like Paul Dunn from Australia and Rick Bain, and they started waving it around on stages around the world when they spoke. And that's kind of what gave me a name. And I would speak to anybody who would listen, you know, anybody who'd give me a microphone and a soapbox. And I had something to say, and it was kind of a timely message, even though I didn't, you know, to plan the message around the timing or anything. I just pursued this because I was interested in it. So it was just a way for me to kind of tell the world what I thought.
Yeah, great. And so if we can, Ron, I'd be really keen to get into some of what we call the marketing experiment side of things. So in this journey, you know, what has worked well for you? What really has fallen on its face? Have there been any dead set shockers, as we like to call them? What has worked well for you from a marketing standpoint?
You know, I'd have to say this because I'm a big believer in learning from our success. You know, people say, oh, you learn from failure. And no doubt that's true. But I've always been one who's learned more from success, right? I figure study success, it leaves clues. And without a doubt, the biggest successful thing I've ever done was write the books I've written. Yeah. That's kind of gotten me everything. It's you know, puts you out as a thought leader, even though I hate that term. It's where I get all of my speaking and consulting engagements is from my books. It's really not the other things I do. It's really the speaking, because that you get word of mouth, but also the books. I mean, people read the books and they say, we want to bring this author in either to consult or speak to us or facilitate a retreat or whatever it might be. So it's really been the books. I pin all my success on the books.
That's extraordinary, isn't it?
It is, because I never expected it, Toby. I never set out to write a book for a particular market. I just wanted to tell the world what I thought. And like, for instance, my first book was called Professional's Guide to Value Pricing. It's now out of print, but it was a $150 book.
Wow.
And it sold 40,000 copies.
Ron, that's impressive.
Boy, I tell you, that kind of really gives you a sphere of influence that's enormous. Plus, I have people like Paul Dunn and these other international folks who praise the book highly and would talk about it. And that guy just kind of put my name out there, and I followed up on every opportunity that came my way. And, you know, once I love what Woody Allen says, right? Success is 90% showing up. Mm. So when you show up to speak, you usually end up getting more speaking engagements from that. So it kind of snowballs after a while.
And Ron, have you seen that same offline success translate into the online world?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, you know, I started almost solely working with accounting firms. And that once I started to get into that, and then I started to get into law firms, and then I started to get into advertising agencies. And it's all just because of networking and, you know, connecting with different people and just following that passion into different areas of the professional services world. That it really did organically grow. So now we work in a lot of various sectors, not just with accountants, but with advertising agencies, with actuarial firms, architectural firms, engineering firms. And now I'm even on the faculty of Professional Pricing Society, which is mostly Fortune 1000 companies like, you know, Boeing and Harley Davidson, things like that. So
wow.
And I have to say, mostly that's all from the books. It's still, I can tie it all back to the books.
Okay. That's incredible. So let's flip it over then and let's have a look at some things that haven't worked so well. What have you got in terms of to share with our audience in terms of what hasn't worked so well for you?
Oh, wow. there's probably lots of things. The one that comes immediately to mind is the first book I wrote was declined. Right. Which was a huge psychological blow and almost prevented me from, you know, writing and trying another one. I wrote the book without having a contract, which probably was a mistake. So that was a huge, I don't know if it was a failure, but it was a setback.
Mm.
And my only lesson from that is you just got to get back up again and get back on the horse. You know, Tiger Woods hits one in the lake. You can't throw down his clubs and say, this game's hard, and walk away.
Yep.
So, other things I've done, I mean, when I branch off too far from topics that I'm passionate about, I'm not as effective. I really have to have a passion about whatever it is I'm speaking on or writing about. And if I'm not passionate about it, then I'm going to come across as boring, either in writing or on stage. And that's the worst thing you can do is to bore your audience.
Yeah, for sure.
So
do you have an example of where, you know, was there a particular topic that stands out in your mind in terms of a situation where you were, you know, moving away from your passion?
Yeah, probably, you know, if you start talking about things like increasing efficiency, like Lean or Six Sigma, or even leadership to some extent bores me. I think it's really overrated. Some of the more, you know, faddish business topics that are out there, that, you know, a conference will want you to speak on. Now I just say no. If I'm not interested in the topic, I won't do it just because it's there. I have to have a passion about the topic.
Yeah, that's really interesting because, I mean, we certainly, looking at what we've seen on the web, people do gravitate towards their passion and they also, you know, audiences will grow up and have multiple passions, obviously, but then follow, you know, different aspects of their lives and their interests and get those from different sources. So it's really interesting to hear you say that, you know, you've really committed to, you know, tried to be more narrow as opposed to trying to go broader.
Right. Because I don't confuse being narrow with being small. I mean, Starbucks is pretty narrow.
Absolutely.
But it's pretty big. And I look at like some of my colleagues, like Tim Williams, for example, my advertising agency consultant. He does nothing but advertising agencies. That's it. He doesn't work with lawyers. He doesn't work with accountants. He's very focused. And I really admire that because I'm a little bit more dispersed than that. But that also, you know, you become less effective. It's kind of the difference between an incandescent light bulb and a laser beam, right? They each take the same amount of energy, but a laser beam can bore a hole into metal.
Yeah. Have an impact on the world.
Yeah.
And Ron, can we talk quickly about that LinkedIn influencer status that you have, which sure. is quite coveted these days and obviously gives you access to a huge audience. I'm interested to hear, how did that come about? What was the Toby, process
it's
a, there?
It's an interesting story because, I don't know, maybe a couple years ago, I forget, maybe 2 years now, 2.5 years, I was contacted by an editor at LinkedIn. Well, I didn't even know LinkedIn had editors right. at the time. This predated the influencer program. And he wanted to interview me about something I had written. He saw an article and then he went and found one of my books and he wanted to interview me, mostly about pricing for CPAs. He set up a discussion group for professionals and he interviewed me. And it was on pricing, but at the end of the interview, he said, well, I've got a question that's kind of off topic. What do you think the number one challenge facing the accounting profession is? And I said, well, people aren't going to like this, but I think it's relevancy. I think the accounting profession's sliding into irrelevancy. So here's a topic that wasn't even on our agenda. And he actually ran with that first rather than the original interview. And it generated 500,000 reads, something like 600 comments, most of which were very, very negative. And he probably said, boy, this guy has the capacity to stir up the crap. You know, I mean, you know how journalists love controversy. Yeah. And it was because of that interview, when they started the influencer program, he asked me to become an influencer.
Right.
It was solely that interview.
That's fantastic.
And then I told him about my buddy Tim Williams, the advertising guy. And now you probably notice that Tim Williams is also one of the influencers on LinkedIn.
Gotcha.
So I think they'll take recommendations from the influencers. Other than that, I have no insight into how they pick folks. I really don't. I think I just lucked out.
Or lucked in. So
lucked in. Yeah, absolutely.
LinkedIn and lucked in. So Ron, I'm interested because you know in our pre-interview chat, you were saying that you don't do sort of formal marketing, but or you don't feel like you do a lot of marketing. But I mean, your content and your thought leadership or your thoughts. Everywhere around pricing and, burying the billable hour, which is, I know, is a huge passion of yours. So, I mean, to me, that is really, you see that time and again in terms of audiences and people who have really grown great businesses online, is having that passion and sharing the expertise. And is that just something, how do you sort of manage that process for yourself?
Yeah, I try and with the LinkedIn, I try and write. I'm supposed to write a couple times a week. I never do. I always write like maybe once every 2 or 3 weeks even.
Right.
And I just always pushing out content, whether it's on Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn or on our own blog, or just sharing things with my sphere of influence, articles that I read or books. But I have to say, Toby, I guess my overall philosophy on this is, a lot of people say, oh, husband your intellectual capital, protect it, sell it at for the highest bidder, whatever. My philosophy is kind of the opposite. I give it all away, because if I give it all away, then I have to replenish it. So it kind of keeps me at the constant edge of, I have to innovate, I have to search for new ideas, for new ways to do things. So my philosophy is more like Linux. I give it away. It's not like a Microsoft model. It's more of a Linux model. You give it away, you make it open source, like Wikipedia. And that's why I set up Verisage Institute. It's a think tank, not a consulting firm. And we actually do give it our intellectual capital away. And I have found that far from making me poor, it's actually probably gotten me more business, but it also keeps me inspired to be on the cutting edge.
Ron, that's absolutely music to my ears. the more I see, the more I feel as though that same philosophy, you know, the more you give away, the more you receive ultimately. So it's really interesting, you know, from you, who's a world expert on pricing, and if your philosophy is that you can give away so much of your intellectual capital, then I'd hope that would inspire our listeners to, you know, start to experiment down that path as well. Have you felt that that's been an attitude that has progressed over time, or, you know, where you've sort of, did it feel uncomfortable initially to start giving away your intellectual capital?
Yeah, and you know why? I have to say it feels uncomfortable because other people love to tell you about it. Other people love to say, well, what's your business model? Well, why are you just giving this away? And so I feel like for a while I had to constantly defend it. Now I don't defend it. I say, look, yeah, I do this because this is who I am and this is how I like to operate. So now I don't feel the need to defend it. But I think it was uncomfortable because other people, whether they were business coaches or other accountants or whatever, just your professional colleagues, would say, you're nuts giving this stuff away. You could charge, you know, dearly for this. I'm like, no, I'm happy to give it away because, again, it keeps me on the cutting edge, I think.
Mm. And if we could talk briefly about your sort of product set, I guess, in terms of, you know, the book, speaking, and consulting, how have you found, you know, the giving away piece has impacted your pricing and your ability to price those other elements of, you know, how you actually make money through your consulting?
Right. Yeah, it's really interesting because you know the philosophy is you want to, anybody who drops in on you, you want to be able to give them something, even if it's free. So people can go to the Verisage website and they can get a ton of free content. I mean, there's case studies and, you know, papers and articles and questions and answers and all of that. It's all free. We'll never spam anybody. You don't have to sign up. You know, we never even email people from it. And so that's a way that people can just, you know, kind of be a voyeur for free. They can also buy one of my books, which, you know, probably $60 or whatever on Amazon. And then if they want, I'll come and speak to them, or one of my colleagues will speak at a conference or a private firm initiative or whatever. And of course, that's going to have a price. And then we also get into the one-on-one consulting. And the philosophy there, Toby, is to price the customer, not what we're doing. Because as you know, value is subjective. Right. I mean, if I'm in the Australian outback, then a bottled water is priceless to me. But if I'm home washing my dog, that same water is now worth a lot less. And if I'm flooded in my basement, now it's got a negative value. So the interesting thing about that to me from a marketing standpoint is the water itself didn't change. What changed was my context as a customer, what I was trying to do, save my life, save my house. Therefore, you know, good pricers price the customer, not the product or service. And that's what we try and do. We try and customize the price to the value that we're creating.
Awesome. That's fantastic. Well, Ron, look, you know, we've just got a couple more minutes, so I'll wrap up. But the last question I am always keen to ask is, who have you learned from, you know, and who do you follow now in terms of either in person or via books and blogs and presentations? Who is it that you sort of keep tabs on or have had or who has had a great influence on your learning?
Wow, that's a phenomenal question. And how much time do you have?
Or is there somewhere where we can go to find out this information?
Well, but yeah, I have a few LinkedIn blogs on this, on people who have really influenced me. I mean, obviously my father, I've got a couple blogs on that. But I would have to say one would be Peter Drucker. Peter Drucker has had a profound influence on my business thinking. He's no longer with us. He passed away in 2005. But I would say to anybody, read as many Peter Drucker books as you can. I think he wrote 40-something. And they're all just excellent. So definitely Peter Drucker. And another gentleman who's probably the reason I write books and have always wanted to write a book ever since I was in high school is a guy named George Gilder. And he has had a profound influence on my thinking. He's an author. He's also written probably a dozen books. Those would be two right off the top. Yeah, and he blogs and he writes articles. And so did Drucker, you know, for Harvard or Wall Street Journal or whatever. So I keep a close tab on George Gilder and what he says.
Great. Oh, well, thanks very much for sharing that, Ron. And the final piece then is, you know, do you have any closing thoughts or a final piece of advice for the audience?
No, other than just, you know, I'm as you know, I'm a big believer in creating value. And that's the whole marketing concept that Peter Drucker talked about, right? Value is created outside of the four walls of your organization. And it's really driven by the customer, and they're the ultimate and sole arbiter of value. So anything that you can do to enhance that value to your customers is going to be greatly rewarded, not only with higher prices, but also with increased loyalty and referrals and that type of thing. So I would say the world revolves around value.
That's awesome. Thanks, Ron. And finally, how can listeners connect with you if they're keen to follow up?
They can visit me at verisage.com. Obviously, that's where I blog, and we have lots of stuff there. They can also follow me on LinkedIn, one of the influencers, and you can also find me on Twitter at ronaldbaker.com, or I'm sorry, at Ronald Baker. Don't do Ron Baker. That's somebody else, I've learned. or they can email me at ron@verisage.com. And I'm happy to, I spend a lot of time responding to emails. I take them very seriously because I get a lot of them from folks, and I really enjoy connecting with people. So any one of those ways is a great way to reach out to me.
Oh, thanks, Ron. That's really generous of you. So look, thank you so much again for today. I hope the audience has enjoyed it as much as I have. As always, it's I learn so much from you every time we talk. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Toby. I appreciate it. Look forward to it.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye-bye.
That brings us to the end of a fantastic interview with Ron Baker and Toby Jenkins. Tobes, thank you so much for inviting him onto the show.
Yeah, thanks very much to Ron for joining us. I really enjoy speaking to Ron. He really inspires me every time I hear him talk, and reading his books, and been a fan for a long time. So it's a real thrill to get the chance to interview him for the show. To me, the takeaway was just, Ron, you know, as you mentioned right at the start, Ads, the fact that Ron had said before the interview that he doesn't do any marketing, and yet he spent decades consistently giving away, you know, his best intellectual capital, whether it's been in books, in blog posts, I mean, nonprofit think tanks that he set up, the Verisage Institute. All this stuff has been driven around his passion of, you know, burying that billable hour, but informing professionals around what pricing is about and what value is about and customer service. And I just take so much confidence, I guess, from Ron being able to be so generous with what he knows and his incredible expertise, and then to build a great business around it. And by, you know, to think that giving it away has done nothing but generate more interest for him is just a really fascinating piece of the puzzle to me, that the more you give away, the more you receive. And I just love that philosophy because it aligns so nicely with everything that goes on the web.
Yeah, that was one of the key takeaways for me, Tobe. I just love the fact as well that, yeah, he gave away as much of his intellectual capital as he could, and all it's done is just brought more and more business and more opportunity into him. The other takeaway I got too was having the confidence to actually take a stance on something that you are passionate about. And for him, it's burying the billable hour and burying the timesheet. And as he'd said in that article that he was interviewed for LinkedIn, that got 500,000 views and hundreds of comments, most of which he admits were negative comments, but he is passionate about what he's doing. And if he ruffles a few feathers in the process, then that's what it takes for him to get his message out there. And obviously that particular article led directly to him becoming a LinkedIn influencer. So the takeaway for me was develop that confidence to actually stick up for what you believe in. Appreciate that there may well be negative comments, and roll with the punches, because that's probably going to lead to a far greater upside than just being, you know, bland and boring and sitting on the fence with what you believe in.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. No, it was a great interview, and thanks again very much to Ron for joining us. And, you know, the show is, as always, brought to you by the Web Marketing That Works book, and specifically the bonus 33 free templates that go with it. So help yourself over on our website, bluewiremedia.com.au/book. We're always keen to deliver actionable advice. So if you've got any feedback or questions, then they're more than welcome. So please let us know on email or Twitter. My email address is toby.jenkins@bluewiremedia.com.au or @toby_jenkins on Twitter. Ads?
adam.franklin@bluewiremedia.com.au. And on Twitter, I am franklin_adam. The book Web Marketing That Works should be out by today. It should be in bookstores in Australia, in the US, in Singapore, and online. So if you are keen to check it out, do a search for Web Marketing That Works on Google, or just head to that web address that Toby mentioned, bluewiremedia.com.au/book. All the details will be on there. And if you enjoyed the podcast, we would love it if you left us an honest review and a rating on iTunes. We will give a shout out to all the listeners that give us a 5-star review. We really appreciate the support, and we will see you next time.
Thanks very much, everyone.